Come on and give God some praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on and give the Almighty some praise tonight. He is the great I am. He is the deliverer. He is my sanctifier tonight. He is my salvation. He is my help and my strength tonight. Come on and give the Lord some more praise. Hallelujah. Well, yesterday it started off with the triumphant entry. Pastor Martina and Pastor Dennis Gardner, they started off with, let me back up a little bit. I don't need to give honor to my pastor.
Amen.
Okay.
All right.
When I first got here, you know, I was in big trouble. Then I had a few other teachers to get me along up to the point. In other words, you go through stages. There's the kindergarten stage, you know, first and second grade and all of that. And you know, I had a little bit of knowledge. But I told God at the time, I was 34 years old, I said, Lord, I done read this book from cover to cover, and I don't know what it's all about.
Come on, man.
I knew I was saved. But as far as the breaking down and all of that stuff, I didn't know what was going on. I said, Lord, I need help.
Amen.
And so the Lord kind of inspired me. He said, the first time they open up a teaching class, you be a part of it. And Pastor Gardner started teaching. He started teaching on Revelation.
Oh, all right. Amen.
And sometimes I was the only one there. But I knew I needed something from God. And I'm grateful because what I learned from my pastor is how to study.
Amen.
That's what I learned, because it gets to a point where you can't depend on the man or the woman of God. In other words, you can't hang on to the coattail. You got to be able to learn to get to a point where you can stand up and walk for yourself. Because let me tell you something, as grand as man of God he is, he prays to the same God I do. So I had to, sometimes you have to use somebody to as an entryway to get to where you need to go. I needed to be able to go to God, in other words, to learn for myself. Now he talked about the fact where God told him, you know, through Pastor Hart, if he wasn't satisfied with what he was eating, get him a spoon. And eat, find his own food to eat. Well, I wasn't that mature. Okay. And I was crying out to God on some of them Sunday mornings. I said, Lord, ain't nothing to eat up in here. God did me a little different. He said, remember them neck bones your mom used to fix? He said, you used to grab them, you suck the meat out of them, and the little bristle, and throw the bone away. In other words, learn how to get something out of whatever you hear. It doesn't matter who is up preaching. Learn how to eat. And I thank God that my pastor taught me how to eat. Come on and give God some praise. Now, we're going to start in Matthew, but we can do word in Matthew. And I know everybody likes to stand up, so we're going to stand up. Our guests are here. We're going to stand up, and we're going to start reading from Matthew 21 and 12. We're going to start there. We're going to jump. Matthew 21 and 12. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves.
All right.
You may be seated. Take the text from there, but we're going to jump to the book of John.
All right.
Let's go to John, second chapter. We'll find out why I'm starting here in the text. It's over in Matthew. John, the second chapter. We're going to start at the 13th verse. It says, and the Jews' Passover was at hand. We're going to stop right there at that word Jews. The Jews' Passover was at hand. In the beginning, when God established those holy days, it was his Passover. Now all of a sudden you find out it's the Jews' Passover. Why is that? Because after they came out of captivity, they had Ezra and Nehemiah, the influence to restore those things back the way they were. But as soon as they passed on, then they reverted back to the corruption and began, and it went on apace, and the Lord found the nation, the Lord Jesus found the nation as described in Malachi. Right. What was at one time the feasts of Jehovah are now the feasts of the Jews, because the Jews have rejected God. And God, as a result, no longer called them Israel, which means God led. He called them the Jews. Okay? And that's the Jew, the name that is given to them by the Gentile. So the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting.
All right.
Sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the table. And when he had and said unto them that sold dove, take these things hence. Make not my father's house a house of merchandise.
Alright.
So now we're over Matt, we see a den of thieves, and now we see a house of merchandise. The reason why I'm starting in John is because this is the beginning of Jesus' ministry. The book of John describes or gives the account of Jesus as God in human form. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That one came forth and began to do miracles. This was right after the marriage in Canaan, when he had turned the water into wine. So now after this, he has now established himself, and the glory and the manifestation of his power has come forth. Now he goes into the temple to clean it up.
All right. Watch out.
And he found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of the money sitting down, which was not supposed to be. Why is that? When God first started the tabernacle, now this word temple, let me stop right there. The word temple is talking about the temple court. That means the outer court.
That's right. Right. Yeah.
He found them sitting in the outer court. Not supposed to be in the outer court.
Come on, preacher.
The only thing that was supposed to be in that outer court were two things: the brazen altar and the laver. It was supposed to be empty. Now this is full of oxen, so he's driving them out. Oxen and sheep and all of this stuff. Jesus is driving them out. When you brought the ox, the only time the animals were brought in were for sacrifice. You brought them to the person who was going, in other words, if I committed sin or I wanted to sacrifice unto God, I brought the animal to the gate.
Amen.
I killed the animal. I did. Since it's my dealings with God, whether it's through his perfect will or through sin, I killed the animal. The priest sectioned it, and he puts it on the altar to be burned. Now they find in animal within the temple courts. That word "in" means to remain within. So now You can imagine. Now let's read on. Let me read on this. Come back when I was talking. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple, the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, overthrew the tables, and said unto them, take these things hence. Make not my father's house a house of merchandise. Mm-hmm. You got a bunch of animals standing around. You know what that smells like. Mm-hmm. They staying in the temple, mm-hmm. in the courts. Mm-hmm. So you got animal waste and everything else in that court.
Yeah. Watch it.
It's stinking. Jesus getting him. He's preparing things. He's establishing himself. He is restoring what was lost. So now he's got to clean that temple up and get them out of there. So he made that scourge and began to drive them out.
Yeah.
And said unto them, make not my father's house a marketplace. In other words, a supermarket. What's in a supermarket? You got a bunch of stuff looking around. Okay? You go in there and look at it. When it's supposed to be a house of worship.
Yeah.
We wandering around looking at things. Instead of worshiping God. So he drove them out. We are not to make God's house a house of merchandise. We are not to make God's house a house of merchandise. And it told them that sold dove, take those things out. They also were only to be brought in when it was time to sacrifice. God does everything decent and in order. Decent in order. That word means honest. God is not a fraud. He does things correctly, and he expects us to do those things. So once again now, this is after 400 years now, because now Christ has come. There's been no word from the temple for over 400 years.
Come on now.
And man has seated himself in the temple.
Come on now.
Man has seated himself in the temple. Let's go to Matthew.
Amen.
Go to Matthew. Now, before we start Matthew, I'm going to teach a little bit about this book we have. When we look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that's called the history.
Yes.
The history of Jesus.
Yes.
We'll call it history because that Jesus does not exist anymore. What do you mean? He is no longer walking down the shores of Galilee.
Amen.
Okay. He did that in time past. Right now he is sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. That's where he is right now. When you read this book, you can't. I'll give you a perfect example. I was looking at, and I told Pastor Relford yesterday, I was looking at the account where the president sent all those missiles over to Syria. And so I like to flip the channel. So I started on NBC, then I changed to ABC, then I changed to Fox, and then I changed to CBS. And what I caught was the word strike. So when I turned it on the word strike on NBC, when it got to ABC, it was saying strike. When I got to Fox, it was saying strike. When I got to CBS, it was saying strike. In other words, you have to take, when they give the accounts of these things like we're reading, you can't take them all in a row.
Right.
It's not like reading the news. I'm going to give you some examples of what I'm talking about. Now, the first account that we just read was at Jesus' beginning of his ministry. This account right here is 6 days before the Passover.
Yes. Right.
6 days before the Passover. Let's read. And Jesus, Matthew 21 and 12. And Jesus went into the temple and cast all of them out that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. What they were doing was, there was a tax. And it was due the 15th of, I think it was the 15th of March in our land. So what these folks did was they went into the temple and sat got in there. They were banned. Went in God's temple and sat in there. And as the folks came in, they took the tax from them.
All right, yeah.
Now, when they didn't pay up, they still sat in there.
Yeah.
So God had to drive them out. And then when they were exchanging the money, they were cheating the people. That's what he's talking about. You done made my house a den of thieves. That word thieves is translated robber. Robbers in God's house. Robbers in God's house. And when he had... Okay, once again, let's read that again. 12. And Jesus went in the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doth, said unto them, ye have, and my house shall be called a house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. And after he cleaned them out, then he began to minister. He was able to minister. Why? Because that is what the temple was for. That outer court was for. It was for all people to be able to come in and receive what they needed from God through the sacrifice.
Amen.
Now, in Matthew's gospel, that represents the king. The king came up into the temple with a new nature and a new character to kick out the old.
Come on now, you better pay.
Once again, because man is in the temple.
Come on now.
Now, I've heard in the past that the devil's the one that always come back. God, watch the devil because he'll come back. I'm looking at man coming back.
Right.
In spite of the instruction, in spite of knowing it. And these are the Jews. They have the word of God with them.
Come on now.
They got the word of God. So there's no excuse for them. But man in his intelligence decides that he's going to ignore the word of God.
Amen.
Now in the first account over there in John, there was no high priest to watch over the place. No high priest. In here, in Matthew's account, you got the blind and the lame coming in. Let's read that. 14. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, the miracles, and the children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They knew who the king was. They knew who the king was. The children knew who the king was.
Yeah.
They were crying, Hosanna, that word means help me, help now,
yeah.
Save now.
Yeah. You better say, come on.
Jesus, save now, save us now.
Amen.
Because we are, and then what did he say? And then so the chief priests and scribes, when they saw the wonderful things he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna is the son of David, they were sore displeased.
Amen.
Here's the chief priest.
Amen.
He's upset because the praise is going on.
Right.
Man is upset because the praise of God is going on.
Amen.
The children crying out to him. Hosanna to the Son of David. And Jesus said unto them, and they said unto him, hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, yea, have ye never heard? Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. God has prepared a praise to come out of them. Why? Because that is the place of praise. He's prepared it to come out of them because it's perfected because it's prepared by God. We see the example back over there in David's time. Since we're talking about the son of David, we're going to talk about King David. When David went over out there to Goliath, David was not scared. David called on his God. David gave praise to his God. And God gave him the victory not only over Goliath, but over his five brothers.
Go ahead.
A perfected praise. Let me tell you something. God is... Whew.
Go ahead. Take the time.
Hosanna to the Son of David.
Yes.
They wasn't happy with it. The king was there. The Savior was there. The one who would sacrifice himself was there. And the healer was there. Come on, give God some praise.
Go ahead.
Now, let's go to Mark.
Say a word, say a word.
Mark the 11th chapter. Once again, this is not CNN and NBC and all of them. This is 3 days before the Passover.
All right.
Bible says, study to show yourself approved to be a workman that is not ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. A lot of mistakes that we make is we think the Bible is written in chapter and verse.
Right. Come on now.
Bible says, here a little, there a little, jot. In other words, God can take a couple of words and go and explain a whole lot of different things and come back. But we have to know how to divide the word of God. And the only way we can do that, we have to be, have our temple clean.
All right.
So that you can hear from God.
Yes.
Otherwise, you're going to hear from that other one that's occupying the temple.
Amen.
And it ain't Lucifer.
Because
let me tell you something, Lucifer been kicked out. Where's Lucifer? Oh, they call him the Prince of the Air. That's just a title. That's an empty title. Okay? He is in exile looking at the place where he used to live. Knowing he can't get back.
Say a word. Say a word, preacher.
Amen,
amen, amen. Now, let's go back to him. Now, Jesus was very busy these last few days. He was very busy. Come into Jerusalem, go to Bethage, then out, come to Bethany, back, Jerusalem. Why? Because he was preparing a way for us. He was preparing something special.
Come on, sir. Come on.
Now let me get this. I don't want to jump ahead too far. And then they came 11 and 15 in the book of Mark. And they came to Jerusalem. And Jesus went into the temple. And began to cast them out that sold and bought in the temple. Overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. This time, and would not allow or suffer, that word means allow or permit, that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. Why? Because as Mark portrays him as God's servant. Let me make it right now. Make it right. Find it right. He is God's servant. The servants are the one who help keep the temple clean. We are to serve God, the house of God. Not only this, but I'm not trying to get too far ahead of myself. Okay? But we are to keep the temple of God clean. And all of those vessels that are not set apart for God's use do not belong in the temple. Go back to the temple of Moses to show you what I'm talking about. They had the table of showbread. It was in the inner court. They had the lampstand. It was in the inner court. All of those things were in there representing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The lampstand represent him as the light of the world. The table of showbread, him as the bread of life. All of those were in there, and the only time that they were to be used as is when God gave the instruction.
Amen.
Let me tell you how tight this was. When God called Aaron as priest, he was the high priest, was the first. God told Moses, tell your brother. Now I'm going to paraphrase this part. He can't come up in this sanctuary anytime he wants to. Because I'm up in here.
Come on now.
And without an appointment, I dwell between the cherubim. And if you come up in here without an appointment, I will kill him.
Come on now.
Let me tell you something. I know we get to shouting and whooping, hollering. I bet you wasn't no shouting going on when he delivered that message. God demands order. He's a holy God. So all of the vessels, he would not allow anybody to carry anything that was not sanctified and set apart for the Father's use. And he taught once again. He said, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer. Let me tell you something. Israel's job was to bring the gospel to all nations. Yeah. That was their job. Their other job was to go into Canaan and take care of all the Hittites and Amorites. No, we're not going to get into that. We'll be here all night. But he said unto them, my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer. That word prayer is very important. Because a lot of times when we think about prayer, we think about our supplications. We think about what we need and, you know, blessing our family. But that word prayer there is talking about personal devotion unto God. What he's talking about is, my house shall be a house of praise.
Amen. Amen.
In other words, when I come into the temple, I tell God how good he is.
Right. That's right.
I tell God I love him and I appreciate him.
That's right.
Then after I get through with that, then if there's anything I need, then I can say, okay, Lord, now I need. I got a need.
Amen.
And let me tell you something just important. I'm supposed to pray for my brothers and sisters before I pray for myself. That's what that's talking about, being a house of prayer.
Amen.
Once again, 11 and 18, and the scribe and the chief priest heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people was astonished. In other words, Jesus has a word that'll knock you out of your senses.
Right.
And that's what he did. They knocked him out of his senses. They were astonished at his teaching. Why? Because he didn't teach like they did. See, they had a form of God.
Right.
They were pretending. The scribes would give, you know, you come in there for a scripture, they would write it out for you and all of that stuff. But their heart wasn't in the word.
Amen.
That's why God had to keep coming back to clean out the temple.
Amen.
Now, Luke's gospel talks about God's ideal man. God's ideal man in the temple. One that is a mature man. Knows what he's supposed to do. See, we're supposed to know what we're supposed to do in the house of God.
Amen.
If you don't, then you have you. St. Francis, you got your pastor. Liberty, we got our pastor. Because God will set in order through the man of God.
Oh,
there's another one right over here. In family ties. God will set in order through the leadership until you get to a point where you're mature enough and grown enough where God can talk to you. Then the pastors don't have to tell you what to do. You come in there and you find your seat. Why? Because God sets things in order. Come on and give God some praise. I ain't be too much. We get ready to get out of here. Now I'm getting ready to piggyback on what both my pastor said yesterday.
Preach the word.
Pastor, the senior pastor, said that in my father's house there are many mansions. But were not so, I would have told you. I go away to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. Let me tell you right now, just like he said, he's not talking about heaven. The place is prepared. The place is the body of Christ. That's the prepared place. That's the realm of God that we're all in. We're all in here together at one time. Well, it don't make. That's why we fellowshipping together. That's what God wants. He don't care nothing about titles. He don't care nothing about name. Why? Because it's only one name, and his name is Jesus. So we're to keep that temple clean. Go to 2 Corinthians, 6th chapter.
Preacher.
And I'm going to start with the 16th verse, but I'm going to start where mine is marked off. Everybody have it? Say amen.
Amen.
It says, for ye are the temple of the living God. Who's he talking to? He's talking to us.
That's right.
As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. What is the unclean thing? Now, back in the Old Testament, you know, there's certain kind of animals you couldn't touch. You couldn't touch dead things. A priest couldn't even go into a dead person's house. That was forbidden him. Okay? Those are natural things, pointing towards spiritual things. This is the new covenant. Let me back up just a little bit. The word, when we talk about Bible, we talk about Old Testament and New Testament. The word for testament is covenant. Old covenant, new covenant. That means it was a new agreement. Okay, and that agreement was activated when Jesus died upon the cross and set, because it's blood, it's a blood agreement.
That's right.
So when he shed his blood, the covenant, the new agreement was activated.
Come on now.
So now we are all in the body.
Yes.
We're all in the body. One mindset, one thought, one way of doing things. Mess them up with this. One anointing. That's the thing. Everybody got their own anointing. It's only one anointing. Why is it only one anointing? Because it's only one Jesus. Is Christ divided? No. Now we tear him apart because we want our own thing. We want a piece over here and we want a piece over there. But no, it's only one Christ. It's only one anointing. Now that anointing can go forth and do different operations in different areas as you are called into it. But it's only one anointing. So we all share. Because what that does is that makes me better than you if I've got a greater anointing. Jesus came down here and talked to us face to face. So if he talked to us face to face, then I'm supposed to talk to my brothers and my sisters face to face. I don't look down upon them. Uh-huh. That's part of keeping the temple clean.
Amen.
Allow this man which was in Christ Jesus to be in you, who found it not robbery to be equal with God. See, we're equal with God too. But see, a lot of folks want to make a reputation for themselves.
Watch it.
A lot of folks want to make, what was that? That guy on TV I was talking about? The Master Prophet? The Master Prophet. Jesus didn't even want you to call him good. He said the only good one is the Father.
Come on now.
But this dude is the Master Prophet. Jesus had a mind of humility. He was humble. Yeah. We talked about it yesterday, how he rolled in on the coat. Humility is part of the nature and the character of God. That is what's supposed to be on display at all times when they look at. Now I'm going to piggyback off of what First Lady said. She said, what are people seeing when they see you? Well, I'm going to put it like this. When they come into that temple court, see, because not only is this corporate, it's also individual. What do they see when they come into your court? Are they seeing a bunch of junk? Are they seeing a bad attitude, a bad disposition? Are they seeing revolutions against the pastors when they say something? We were talking about that yesterday. Pastors say something. Oh, we need to vote on it.
What?
This is a theocracy, not a democracy. Folks, that brought it, that's what we're talking about, them vessels that we're talking about, bringing that stuff in the church and trying to operate with it. You see the trouble they're having in Washington, and you want to bring that up in here?
Hey! No! No way!
Huh? come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing. And God said, I will receive you to myself. You shall be my sons and my daughters. But we got to keep the temple clean. I got to use this word and I got to examine. Let me tell you something. In that outer court was the labor. And the priest went to it and they looked in there and they saw the blemishes and they used that water that was in there to wash themselves clean. That's what the word of God does. The word of God is to wash my mind clean. Because let me tell you something. Yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, I'm a third generation preacher. But sometimes I get up with a bad attitude. And I need Jesus to help me keep it clean. Why? Because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know who you're going to meet. When they come into that temple, when they came in there, people was crying, Hosanna. Is they going to cry, Hosanna, when they see you? Or they going to turn around and say, I'm all right. Jesus, they talk about it. I'm all right. I'm looking at them with their attitude. I'm looking at them in their disposition. Hey, I don't need to change. That's what Jesus is all about. It's about making a change from our limited glory to his unlimited glory, from our limited faith to his unlimited faith, to our immaturity to his maturity. God is looking for a mature individual, a man to stand up in the midst of the church and declare that he is God. A lot of folks is declaring themselves to be God. A lot of men declaring themselves to be God up in the church. You got to look to them for the answer. You got to look for them for all that. Let me tell you something. I'm glad when pastors said, don't take my word for nothing. I had three people say it. My father, who was my first pastor, Pastor Hart, and my current pastor. Don't take the word of God for nothing. Study to show yourself approved. Because the Bible said that if you don't study, they think they have eternal life. Will a man rob God?
Yeah. Come on now.
And I'm not talking about tithes and offerings over there in Malachi 3:10. Will a man rob God of the opportunity to minister?
Yeah.
Will a man rob God of the opportunity to give out peace? Will a man rob God of the opportunity to give out love? Will a man rob God of the opportunity for somebody to get saved? We got to clean out the temple. We got to sweep out the trash. And it's an individual job. Yeah, but it's also a collective job. And that's everybody's job. Let me tell you something. It don't matter what your name is or what title that's in front of it. God expects his temple to be clean. He is the head. And he flows down into his body. Power and ability to overcome. We gotta keep the temple clean. I'm stopping right here. Everybody stand. Come on, give God some praise. What's in your temple? What's in your temple? What's in your temple tonight? It's self-examination time. Let a man examine himself by that word. It's not about feelings. It's not about all of those things. It's about the word. It's about the word. The word that you have to clean yourself up with. Yes, let me tell you something. Sometimes when the preachers get up here and they begin to talk, you don't like what they say. But let me tell you something. It's medicine. Let me tell you something. I didn't like that juniper tie my daddy gave to me. I had one of them bad colds. And you had to take that stuff and you poured sugar on it. It was so nasty. And you had to take that stuff. But it broke the cold up. We got to take that medicine that is the word of God and use it. Because God is coming back. He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. Hallelujah. Come on, give God some praise. Thank you, Jesus. You got to check out what's in your temple. You got to clean it out, clean the junk out. Don't forget what y'all James said. He's like a man that stared into the glass and then forgot, went away forgetting what he looked like. You folks forgetting that God has saved them from their sin. Folks forgetting that God had mercy on them. Folks forgetting that God has saved them from death itself. You don't know how close that accident was to you. You don't know about that guy that broke into somebody else's house and missed you. But it's the mercy of God. And God, God is keeping us. Hallelujah. 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 It's offering time. It's offering time. Thank you, Jesus.